you ought to reflect the character of the kingdom. And the hallmark of all true kingdom constituents is what Jesus called meekness.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We've looked already at the first test of three that Joseph was caused to experience. First, the test of adversity. We saw how that he was scorned by his brothers, how that he was sold by his brothers, and finally, how he was subjugated by Potiphar, his new owner. These were devastating circumstances in the life of a young Jewish boy in a polytheistic and paganistic society of Egypt. And then we saw that second great test to which he was subjected, the test of allurement. And we gained a very significant insight into the character of this great man of God, as we saw how through the power of God's Word and the indwelling promptings of God's Spirit, he had the courage, the moral strength and character to withstand this devastating temptation of Potiphar's wife, the temptress. Now we come to this third test of Joseph, and it's the test of advancement, and that carries with it its liabilities as well. Sudden elevation may lead to sudden intoxication with pride, and quickly be followed by a devastating fall, and Lucifer is a classic example of it. So here is a third searching test for Joseph. His cup is full. He has great ascendancy. How will he deal with it? And so Joseph is subjected perhaps to his most exacting test, the test of advancement, the test of prosperity. And as you face that test, and every one of us will at various stages of our lives, as you face that test, you're confronted with two powerful temptations. You may want to jot them down. The first is the temptation to arrogance or pride. And the second is the temptation to animosity or bitterness. So there was first this temptation to arrogance, the pride of life, one of the tools of Satan, the pride of life, one of the marks of this world, which we are not to love, which is passing away. The pride of life can overwhelm a man. It is a battle that is often lost when other battles are won and the consequences are devastating. There was no evidence that Joseph ever exhibited such a spirit. In fact, it seems quite clear as you read the narrative that Joseph did recognize his own sins and his own needs, and that Joseph never cherished his own independence. He knew daily and moment by moment he was dependent upon God, but that he patiently sought to do God's will, glorifying him as God and giving him thanks. Tremendous spirit in this man of God, Joseph. Have you ever thought about what are the tests of pride? Six questions we need to ask ourselves. Number one, how do we respond to criticism? Number two, am I capable of learning from others? Or have I developed the mentality which says, in effect, I know it all. Nothing more for me to learn. Number three, can I admit my mistakes? That's a powerful one. Number four, do I make it my business to serve others, or do I expect that others should serve me? It's a test of pride. Number five, how do I respond to the successes of other people? That is a real test of pride. Here's another one. How do I respond to the failures of other people? Are we inwardly glad when our brother stumbles, or are we inwardly grieved? You know what is the mark of a truly spiritual man? He knows how to rejoice with those who rejoice, and he knows how to weep with those who weep. The test of pride. Humility is the recognition that God and others are more responsible for my successes than I am. There are various ways, no doubt, of defining it, but in my mind, success is becoming conformed to the image of Jesus. And if I'm going to be a successful pastor, I want to lead the lost to Jesus. and I want to teach them to become conformed to the image of Christ. That's success. And humility is recognizing that God and others are more responsible for those successes that I have than I myself am. That was the spirit of Joseph. He could have been arrogant. He could have been proud. Now I'm on top of the heap. Now my cup is full. Look at me. He gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. It's a powerful temptation, arrogance. But now there's a second one. It's not as long. It won't take so long in this one. There's a second grave temptation to the test of advancement. And that's what we call animosity or bitterness. The first is arrogance or pride. The second is animosity or bitterness. As Joseph came to the throne of Egypt, we might have suspected that he had a few scores to settle. I've already mentioned that. One with Potiphar's wife. He had a score to settle with her. She lied about him. He was incarcerated in a pagan dungeon because of her lies. One with Potiphar's wife, one with his brothers who came down to Egypt for food during the time of great famine. Can you imagine Potiphar and his wife discussing the new Lord of Egypt? I bet that was a delicate conversation. I'd like to have been a mouse in a corner. Joseph had power, absolute power. He now possessed the kind of authority which would allow him to do virtually anything he wished in all the land of Egypt. If he so desired, he could do unto Potiphar's wife and he could do unto his brothers what they had done unto him. He could drink the sweet cup of revenge. Ever been in a position like that? It's an enviable position. All of a sudden, we got power. We got authority. We can use it to hurt or we can use it to help. Joseph, over the years, had integrated into his life that beautiful quality, which Jesus said in the New Testament is the hallmark of all true kingdom constituents. If you're a kingdom constituent, if you've been born into the kingdom, which will be established literally, empirically, ecclesiastically, politically here on the earth, if you're a kingdom constituent, you ought to reflect the character of the kingdom. And the hallmark of all true kingdom constituents is what Jesus called meekness. Joseph was learning in a very literal way, millenniums before it was recorded in Scripture, but it was still true then. Joseph was learning in a very literal way the truth of Jesus' beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." He inherited the empire of Egypt because he was meek. That's how you conquer animosity, through meekness. You say, what is meekness? Meekness is power held under control. It's such a milquetoast word in English. I wish we had another word for it. It sounds so much like weakness, but that's not what it is. Meekness is no invertebrate attribute. It is not the description of a man with no backbone. It is a man who has power, who has authority. He's taken all of his physical, all of his psychological, all of his spiritual potential and power, and he's held them under check. He's channeled them in the proper direction. He uses them for the glory of God and for the good of others and not for himself. That's meekness. The very word, proutes, the word Jesus used to describe what Joseph did, the very word that Jesus used, proutes, means power held under control. It was used in five ways in the New Testament era. I'll give it to you very quickly. It was a medical term used to describe a soothing medicine, proutes. It was a verbal term used to describe mild words in the process of communication. It was a nautical term. It was used by sailors to describe a cooling breeze on a hot, sultry day. It was a social term used to describe the warm relationship which exists between friends. It was an animal term. It was used to describe a colt that had been broken, tamed, or domesticated. That's how that word was used. You see, now what has all that got to do with meekness? How do those illustrations amplify our knowledge of meekness? Now I'll tell you something. There's one ingredient that binds all of those things together. Power. Every one of them is powerful. Medicine is powerful, for good or for evil. Words are powerful. Do you know the power of words? I tell you, it'd be good for us to understand and learn the power of words. No wonder there's so much in the Scripture about busybodies and gossips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. I can destroy a man with my words from afar. I don't even have to be around him. I can be the other side of the country. I can destroy him with my words. I can help him with my words. Death and life. I always get nervous when I see these little groups in the foyers of our churches humming. Because I know death and life are in the power of the tongue. James says in the New Testament, James 3:1-12, James says there are three great powers in the tongue. This is another message. I'm not going to preach it, but I'll give you the outline. There's one, the power to direct. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth and a rudder on a ship. Power to direct. There is power to destroy. It's like a fire, a raging fire, or a wild beast. And there's finally power to delight. It's like a fig tree or a fountain. Words are powerful things. Jesus is the Word. There's power in Jesus. Medicine, words, wind, friendships have powerful influences over us. A colt, a wild animal, all of them have power. That's the common ingredient that binds them all together, and that's why the word proutes, meekness, was used to describe them. But there's a critical issue, not only a common ingredient, there's a critical issue. The issue is this: all of that power is absolutely of no value unless it is held in check, tamed, controlled, or domesticated. That's what it means to be meek. Take all of your power, positional power, your position, physical, psychological, spiritual. Take all of your power and control it, discipline it under the promptings of God's Spirit and the mighty principles of God's Word. And when you do that, you'll be meek. Now that's the kind of power and authority which Joseph had. That's how he exercised it. Joseph knew what Paul knew. He knew all of these things millenniums ahead of time because they're eternal principles. Joseph knew what Paul knew. 2 Corinthians 10:8. God gives to his servants authority, but he gives to those servants authority for edification and not for destruction. You know what that means? God invests authority in every one of us as the servants of the Lord for the building up and not for the tearing down of God's people. Joseph learned humility, and so he conquered arrogance. Joseph learned meekness. And so he conquered animosity. If you can be rid, and if I can be rid of pride and bitterness, we can have the blessing of God in our ministries and in our lives. If we can be rid of pride and bitterness, and I want to tell you something, it's not a battle you win once for all, it's a battle you renew every day. You take up your cross daily and follow Christ. If we can be rid of pride and bitterness, we can be sure that God will bless our ministry and multiply our meaning. Joseph's a great man. Test of adversity, test of allurement, test of advancement. There's a lesson in every one of them for us.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.